You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in.
What's up, my friend? Welcome back to the Finding Direction podcast. This week, I am bringing an episode to you that is absolutely just fire. You are going to love this episode. I'm sitting down with Jarvis Leverson. He is a productivity engineer. He's an accountability coach, and he's also known most famously for being called the morning hero. And on this episode, a few of the things that we talk about is how you can get yourself to stop spinning your wheels aimlessly. If you feel like you're going through your day and just going through the motions, how you can begin to snap out of that and really get in alignment with something that creates some fire and some passion in your life. We talk about how to instantly become a morning person, even if you don't think you are, and also how you can create a powerful morning routine that will absolutely, hands down, change your life. And so there is so much goodness in this episode. If you are not already, make sure you subscribe so you can hang out with us every single week. Here we bring you new episodes every single week. And other than that, we are going to dive right into this week's episode. I know you're going to enjoy it. Honestly, you're probably going to want to listen to it two times, three times, four times, because there are so many nuggets in this one. All right, my friend, here we go. Jarvis Leverson, aka the morning hero. My man, I am so freaking pumped for you to be here. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today.
What's up? What's up, Stu? This is long overdue. Let's get it.
It is long overdue. So as we kick this thing off, I'd love it if you could give our listener just sort of the inside scoop on who is Jarvis Leverson. Why did I call you aka the morning hero? Just kind of give an inside scoop as far as, you know, who you are and what you do.
Who is the morning hero? So the morning, people started calling me the morning hero because I wake up at 4 a.m. and I've got this crazy ritual, that I started doing about 5 years ago, that basically kind of just turns me into a superhero. I'm 10 times more productive. I'm focused, dialed in, and I get so much stuff done in such a short period of time that I felt like it turned me into a superhero. So about five years ago is when I kind of recognized the secret sauce of life. If you wake up early with a very structured routine, you could accomplish anything you want in a short period of time. And so so I started calling myself the morning hero, and then it kind of stuck with me. So now I teach that to other people. I'm a peak performance coach, and I show people how to maximize their time so they can gain more clients and close more deals while cutting their workday in half. So that's kind of my claim to fame. I show people how to be done by lunch. Be done, get all your critical stuff done before lunch. That way you have the rest of the day for free time to do whatever the hell you want to do. And so I focus on giving people their time freedom back.
Let's go, man. There's so much juice to dive into in all of that. And what I would love for us to do at first is kind of go like way back and start with sort of your early days, right? Not as, you know, a 5-year-old really, but more so when you kind of took your first step into the real world. I'm assuming you weren't this, well, I know you weren't this morning hero person. So fill our listener in a little bit as far as like, you know, what was life first like for you as you kind of stepped into the quote unquote real world? Like, what was that like?
So the real world for me was, I grew up in Chicago, and I was pretty much in kind of like an all-star at everything I did. You know, I went to, I played 4 sports. I was the captain of the football team, played quarterback, captain of the wrestling team, you know, all state for track. On top of all that, I was on the honor roll and all these, you know, winning all these different academic awards. And so growing up, everything really came pretty easy. I never really had to try that hard. I'm one of those people that, you know, I catch on to things pretty quickly without much effort. So I ended up going to school for computer engineering and at the University of Illinois, which is about 2 hours south of Chicago. And at the time, engineer. The University of Illinois was number two school in the nation for computer engineering. So, and, you know, I graduated with over a 3.0 there. And so I kind of coasted, you know. I know that's not, you know, for a lot of people had to, you know, struggle and kick and scrape. For me, I coasted for a while. And because I just didn't have to struggle to get acceptable results. And so I coasted and through school and graduated. Went to work for a Fortune 500 company doing technical sales. So I sold computer hardware and computer software and did that for 15 years. And was, you know, pretty decent at it. And like my journey really began when I hit 30, because that's where the first time in my life where I noticed I was just sitting still. And it's kind of like not sitting still or, you know, I was just lazy, but I had stopped really making progress in life, where up until that point, every year, you know, I would get promotions and, you know, move on to different projects and assignments and be team leaders. Like every year I noticeably felt I was making progress. And then I hit a point where I just stopped making progress, kind of like stalled out in life. And I existed like that for about 5 years. I call it the lost years, where I was just stuck in this cycle of just waking up, going to work, eating like crap, hanging out with friends, go to bed, wake up, go to work. And every day was the same, just over and over, year after year. It's just kind of like Groundhog Day. And for me, what that did was that turned into me searching for fulfillment in all these random things, chasing after women, partying, you know, overeating, over drinking, trying and you know, experimenting with drugs and different things. And all these things where I was just searching for meaning, searching for purpose, searching for some sort of something to fill this void and this emptiness that I was feeling for just not living up to kind of what I felt I could have been, I should have been doing in life. And so that kind of took me down to this downward spiral where all of a sudden I was kind of at the top of the leaderboard at my company. I was producing as a sales rep. I went from the number one sales rep in my office down to the dead last within 1 year. And then my boss, who was my friend at the time, after one of our team meetings where they put up on the scoreboard, you know, and when you're in sales, there's a scoreboard. They put up the leaderboard and they show, you know, Jarvis, dead last. And like I'm kind of sinking low in my seat. And I remember my boss called me into the office and he's like, you know, this hurts, but, you know, this isn't working. You know, this basically he's like, you're taking up space from the team and we're going to have to let you go. And that was like a wake up call for me. It was like slamming into a brick wall. And 2 weeks later, you know, my girlfriend at the time, we were living together, had the same talk with me, basically like, you know, this isn't working. You've taken up space in my life.
You
know, I wasn't serving her. I wasn't respecting our relationship. I was going out and hanging out with friends and doing all, like I said, all these things, just grasping for something to try to fill this emptiness that I was feeling. And I wasn't serving my relationship. I wasn't prioritizing her. And so we end up deciding to break up. And so within a 2 week period, I lost my job, lost my girlfriend, had to move out of my house. I had to figure it out. And I went on this journey of trying to figure it out. That was kind of like the starting point of my life right there.
So a few things I would want to ask you. One thing that's really interesting that I'm hearing as you say that is there's this book called Outwitting the Devil. Have you ever read it? So it's by Napoleon Hill, the same guy that wrote Think and Grow Rich. It's a really, really good book. It was so sort of controversial that he actually didn't release it until after he and his wife both passed away, because it was so controversial. They were like, we don't want to be alive when it publishes. So they made a deal with the publisher. And one of the things they talk about in this book is this thing called the hypnotic rhythm. And it basically means, and I had another mentor, Bob Proctor, he used to say it in this way. He'd say, in the absence of clearly defined goals, we become strangely loyal to daily activity until ultimately we become enslaved by it. Another way to say that is hypnotic rhythm, right? So it's like we get so basically on this autopilot that day in and day out, we're in this hypnotic rhythm, just sort of moving through the motion and going. And oftentimes the only way we get snapped out of that hypnotic rhythm is like a catastrophic failure, a major life event, right? It's something like you said, where it's you literally are being like slammed into a brick wall. And that's what happened for you at that moment, right? Is it was kind of like, okay, I was in this hypnotic rhythm for 5 years of like, what the hell is going on with my life, right? And it allowed you to snap out of that. And I think for the person listening to this right now, a powerful question they could ask themselves is like, are you in some sort of hypnotic rhythm, right? Are you in this sort of, are you in this sort of process like you were at the time where you're just sort of going through it? And if you can be aware of, okay, I'm in this hypnotic rhythm, then we can do something to get you out of that. And so my question for you is, if we went to, you know, 30-year-old Jarvis, when you started to realize, okay, there's like this stillness, I'm not progressing in my life anymore. If you could go back to that 30-year-old you, knowing what you know now, what advice would you have given yourself in that moment to maybe expedite the next 5 years and not have to go through all this aimless searching and all those
great
things?
Question. You know, I've never thought about what I would tell 30-year-old Jarvis, but I would just say kind of, so like what got me out of the, what was kind of like my transcendence was me getting introduced to personal development. So getting introduced to reading books, like that was what, took the veil over from over my eyes and kind of started giving me a pathway of progression again, right? And so if I had to go back to 30-year-old Jarvis, the thing that I would encourage him is to get into personal development, get into reading books, listening to podcasts, you know, working on yourself, taking courses, going to seminars, like starting to do the work on yourself. And that I didn't start doing the work on myself until I turned 35 years old. And that for me now is like, gosh, how many years did I waste? Like, I wish I could go back to college. Like, how come this stuff isn't taught in college? How come I wasn't encouraged back then to start doing the work and making the investment in my own personal growth and development? And so 30-year-old Jarvis, if he could have expedited the process, if I had started way sooner working on myself every day.
Interesting. Yeah, it's crazy when you read a book or something like that, it can shift your perspective. And, you know, I think what you said too with the whole school aspect is it's a whole nother podcast. It's not just like a whole nother podcast episode. It's a whole nother podcast show. But it's interesting. Someone once told me, because I was fortunate enough, I got introduced to personal development when I was 19 years old. I'm now 29, so I'm also slightly biasedly asking, okay, I'm going to be 30. So what are some of these nuggets I can apply to my own life? But one thing that's so interesting that I learned early in personal development was this idea that education comes from the Latin root educo, which means to learn from within, right? Versus education, a lot of the time in the school system, we're learning from the outside, right? We're not learning about ourselves, learning intrinsically, like who are we, what makes me tick. And you know, it's really interesting. Just like 2 days ago, I was doing something, I forget what, and I was like, oh, I know about myself that if I do these two things right now, I'm going to increase my energy and I'm going to produce at a lot higher level. And it made me think, I was like, it's such an underrated skill to learn about yourself, you know, and to learn like what makes you tick and what makes you, you know, think certain thoughts. And it's so crazy. So let's dive in more now. So you have this, you know, switch that goes off 35, you start reading books, you start going to seminars. Fill us in this part of your journey.
So let me take you back before I started reading books. Cool. I had just hit a brick wall. I still didn't know which direction was up. Right. So all I knew is, okay, I got to reset my life. And I had to move back home to Chicago. So when I was living with my girlfriend, we had this, you know, ideal life out in San Diego. We had this beautiful apartment. Had to move out, had to move back to Chicago, living with my mom. So that's kind of like rock bottom, right? A 35-year-old man having to move back home with his mother, right?
Yeah. Sleeping and this is after you lost your job, girlfriend, and you split.
Exactly.
And you're back with mom.
And so that was kind of like rock bottom. And I'm scrolling on Instagram so I'm basically just still at this point I'm still kind of unaware, I'm still just stuck in this mindless rhythm that you talked about.
Yeah.
Scrolling around on Instagram and I get a notification from LinkedIn says, hey, go congratulate Eric on his new job position. Now Eric was my lab partner at the University of Illinois. And so we did all of our computer engineering classes together. So basically you get paired up with someone when you start the program and you take all your classes, all your labs, all your quiz, you do everything together as a pair. And so Eric was my partner and we did everything together. So he was basically the exact same person, exact same place, graduated.
Interesting.
In the exact same place in life, right?
Yeah.
And so now here I'm getting a notification that go congratulate Eric on his new job position. So I go looked at his LinkedIn profile and he is now the CTO of a technology firm. Right. And so here I am on my mom's couch, like with nothing to look forward to in life.
Yeah.
And here was Eric who, if anything, like I was, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but I was smarter and better than Eric. Like I would give him the answers to some of the quizzes and some of the homeworks. Right. If anything, I should have had a more extraordinary story. Yeah. But here he was living an extraordinary life. Like I went to his Instagram account and he's got, you know, boats and a beautiful house and beautiful family and all this stuff going on for him. And I was sitting there like with nothing to show for the last 15 years of my life. And that for me was a defining moment because it showed me the potential of what I could have been. Like here was Eric, me and Eric were on the exact same trajectory in life. And somewhere along that trajectory, my trajectory stalled out. If anything, it started declining a little bit while his kept progressing. And he showed me where I should have been in life. He showed me the potential that I had, what I could have been doing in my life versus where I was. And that angst, I call it the potential gap, the gap between where you should be in life and where you are. And that difference, that angst, that was the source of a lot of my discontent and all this that I was searching and scratching and clawing and trying to find vices and things to fill void. It was all because of this deep down feeling that I had that I wasn't living up to my full potential.
Yeah.
And so that moment sitting on the couch, that for me was the moment I was like, all right, fuck this. I gotta get back to where I should be. Like the moment you see what you could be doing in life,
Now
it's like, okay, I'm not settling for this anymore.
Yeah, not cool.
What do I need to do? I don't care what it takes. What do I need to do to get back to where I should be? To get to where I know I could be. And that's what put me into personal development. That's where I started reading books. That was like, I gotta get it. And the first book I read was a book recommended by a friend, was The Miracle Morning. And The Miracle Morning, if you're familiar with it, it's by Hal Elrod, talks about waking up early with a morning routine, having a ritual where you work on yourself every day. You prioritize your own self, your personal development, and you start the day with yourself, and then that will then materialize into, you know, you achieving all the things you want in life, right? So it sounds all very woo-woo and frilly and all this,
but
that's what I started doing. So so I read this book in 3 days. Like I've never read a book cover to cover in my life. This is the first book in my life I ever read cover to cover.
That's how you know it's powerful.
Yeah, I couldn't put it down. And within 3 days, it turned me into what at the time I always called myself a night owl. Like I got my best work done from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning. That was when I shined. And within 3 days, it showed me that you are what you call yourself. You are. So if you say you're not a morning person, then that's why you're not a morning person. But you can change that just by changing your language. And so it released me of this shackles of me not ever allowing myself to be a morning person. And within 3 days, I was waking up at 5 a.m. every day, you know, meditating and journaling and doing all this this stuff that I never was ever introduced to before. Yeah. And then lo and behold, that was the starting point of kind of who Morning Hero is today. And was from kind of reading that book as a catalyst.
Yeah. It's wild. I mean, so many different things in there. And even when you were explaining that moment of you sitting on the couch, like, that whole story, I have goosebumps through my body, right? When you're just talking about the idea of like meeting the person that you could have been. And it's like, man, like, I mean, I think everybody should just go meditate on that for like 10, 20 minutes, like 3, 4 days, 7 days, journal about it, right? It's like just that idea of who you could have been is a crazy thought. Right. It's like one of the things they say.
Have you read Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins?
I listened to it on Audible. I think I got 90% through it.
Yeah. If you listen to it on Audible, the Audible version is kind of like a podcast where in between each chapter, they interview him.
I listened to that
author kind of do a little podcast interview. But he talks about this in the early part of the book. He talked about his definition of hell. And he's like, his definition of hell isn't like going to actual hell. It's actually the opposite. His definition of hell is going to heaven. But at the pearly gates, there's a board. And as you approach, you know, the Heavenly Father or the Lord or whatever, you know, whatever the being you want to call it is there showing them like, this is what I had in store for you when I made you. Like, this is who you should have been. No, like who you are now. Like, yeah, you made it to heaven, but boy, you settled for less than you settled for less. You didn't, you know, you were lazy. You didn't achieve everything I had in store. You didn't utilize all the talents that I instilled in you. Like, yeah, you skated by and you didn't do a lot of sinning. So yeah, you meet the minimum qualifications of coming to heaven, but boy, I had a big vision for you that you didn't live up to. So yeah, come on in, but I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah.
He say like, that's actual hell.
Yeah, no, you're making me want to like get up and go run or throw my computer or something. It's like, damn, like it's looking at like who would that person be that he would show you on the board, and how can you aspire to be that version of yourself? Such a freaking powerful concept. And I hope every single person listening to this right now is like hearing it, replaying that, listen to that 6 times over. So you read this book, right? The Miracle Morning is what it was called, right? I need to get the book. It sounds like phenomenal. And I'm curious for you then, like now, obviously you've transformed into this morning hero. You're waking up. You could tell us what time you wake up now, but I think it's like 4 a.m. or something like that every single morning, the weekends.
I'm almost embarrassed to tell people what time I wake up now. It's like 3:30 in the morning, just because I, it's not like intentional. Like I don't have an alarm clock. I haven't used an alarm clock in 5 years, but
that's so cool.
Like when you have a passion and purpose that's so big and like you're obsessed over it, like you wake up, like your brain can't shut off. So I wake up eyes wide open and I'm ready to get after it.
So one thing I'm curious too, and I never knew this about you, and obviously we've known each other for a bit, but one of the things you said before is you used to be like a night owl and you'd get your best work done from 10 to 2 a.m. And now it's totally flipped. And I'm curious, for you know, the person listening to this right now, can you just like expand upon that a little bit? Because I think even before we get into like the benefits of a morning routine and like, you know, what that looks like and how you can do that for your life, there's almost like an identity shift that happened within you going from being a night owl to a morning person. And so can you just expand upon like, it's just, I never knew you were a night owl. So it's even crazier, it's, you know,
made
that switch.
It's totally, you know, the power of the subconscious mind. So, you know, I was a computer engineer, and as an engineering student, you're accustomed to staying up late nights doing, they call them hackathons. You're up late coding. And so it's just like the culture of computer programmers
of that industry.
Red Bulls all over the desk, and you're up all late, all night coding. And so that was my life. And I took that life into, I took that same mindset into when I went into the business world. And I just identified myself as that's who I am. Like it's my circadian rhythm. It's how I was born. It's baked into my DNA. I can't change it. Like, and I always thought that that was a thing that, You were born with a circadian rhythm that's locked in stone and it defines who you are. I know now that that's bullshit.
Yeah.
That you are what you tell yourself you are. And kind of the book, The Miracle Morning, like opened my eyes to the power of the subconscious mind. And like the subconscious mind just manifests any seed you plant. Like all it does is manifest and germinates and nurtures the seed that you plant, that you give it. It is extremely obedient. So whatever seeds you plant, that's what will germinate and grow. Right. And so the moment you change your language, like the moment you start planting different seeds, you grow different force and different outcomes for yourself. And so the first seed I had to plant was, I am excited about my morning. I am looking forward to waking up at 5 a.m. Gosh, I can't wait to wake up at 5 a.m. so I can meditate or so I can go to the gym. And like, this is scary. So this is a real actually like thing that he talks, that Hal talks about in the book, is creating a nighttime affirmation. An affirmation is just a statement or a mantra that you say. It's the seed that you're planting to your subconscious. And so he says, say this mantra, say this thing at night. I'm so excited to wake up at whatever time you want to wake up so that I can do the thing, whatever you're going to do. First, so for me, is I'm so excited to get up at 5 a.m. so I can go to the gym for spin class. And that morning, I woke up at 4:57 a.m. with no alarm clock, before my alarm, 3 minutes before my alarm clock. I've never used an alarm clock since that day. This so powerful.
Damn.
Within one day, I changed my identity because I spoke a different language. I gave my subconscious a different set of instructions to manifest, and it has been obedient ever since then. So I challenge anyone else to try this. Say, I am excited to wake up tomorrow at 5 a.m. at 4:30 a.m.
Yeah,
so that I can have a cup of espresso or whatever you want to do first in the morning.
Yeah.
I guarantee you'll wake up 3 minutes before your alarm.
Yeah. Damn. We're recording this in the morning, but I'm like, I need to go to bed so that I can wake up. I'm sold. I'm trying that. I'm doing that 100%. And it's crazy, the language. And I think anyone, again, that's listening to this, absolutely something you can implement immediately to start waking up earlier. So one thing I'm curious now, you know, our listener, they're going to say this tonight. They're going to, you know, execute this and wake up early. So from there, like, what are three things you would say people can do to have like a killer morning routine? Like, what are three things they can do to have a morning routine that just like really crushes it?
Yeah. So I would recommend the first thing, what I encourage and what I preach. And so this is what I teach people. I call it this, this peak performance routine. Anyone kind of goes through the Morning Hero program or they join my Morning Hero tribe, the very first thing they do is they go through a 5-day challenge where I teach them this routine. And the first part of it is, first of all, you need a journal. You sit down with a journal. And here are the things that I do when I sit down with my journal every morning. The very first thing I do is I grab a cup of espresso, right? Nice. Let's get that out of the way. Right? Yeah. I get my espresso. And of course, I do sip it with my pinky up. And just in case you're wondering, it is the proper way to have an espresso. But I sit with my espresso and I have a journal. First thing I do is I seek clarity. And so for me, seeking clarity, it just means sitting in silence. You can call it meditation. You can call it, you know, prayer, whatever you want to call it, but it's sitting, just having first silent moment where the universe can speak to me. And so I look at like silence is where the unit, like most of the time we're just so inundated with the noise of the day, the noise and the chaos of everything, notifications, emails, social media, text messaging, family interruptions, obligations, responsibilities, like just the barrage of the noise
pile
of the
them
day.
On, yeah.
And like we never have time to sit back and just hear and listen. Listen for where you're being guided. Listen to your gut intuition. Listen to the Holy Spirit or your, you know, I call it listening to the whispers of the universe. So the first thing I do is I sit and I'll put on some little like spa-like music in my headphones, and I'll just sit and intentionally listen. Not try to think about anything, but at the same time, I'm not trying to close off my thoughts. I kind of just let my mind daydream. And in that, every morning I get some sort of clarity. And then I will just start writing it down. I'll just start journaling, writing down any thoughts. A lot of times they'll come up, they'll come as blueprints for the next marketing funnel that I'm gonna roll out for my business or the stuff I got to get done that day or who I should talk to, who I need to connect with to help me get to the next level. So every day I get some sort of word of wisdom spoken to me.
Right.
And so I do that. That's the first thing I would do is sit down with the journal and just, I recommend at least 10 minutes to get into this state of listening so you can actually kind of receive the benefits. So I set a timer for 10 minutes and I just sit and I listen. And then from there I go through and I plan and organize my day around my goals. So I kind of have a very specific process where first you write your goals. A lot of times people will sit and I'll just kind of write a to-do list. A to-do list is really just kind of like a random list of whatever's sitting on your brain, right? Go, you know, but get some new UGG boots off of Amazon, like all just random stuff, right? I first start with writing my goals. When you write your goals, then your brain kind of focuses on what do I need to get done to push those goals forward. So it's not just this random list of all this random crap you could be doing, but how are you ensuring you're making progress on each of your goals every day? So I write the goal.
Is that like a weekly goal, a daily goal, yearly goal?
So you can break it down however you want. So like for me, I write my yearly goal and I write it every single day. So every day it doesn't change. It's the same every single day. Yeah. You know, right now my goal is to build a movement of 1,000 members in the Morning Hero tribe.
Let's go.
The tribe is kind of my Morning Hero community where you go through the challenge. And I have kind of all my lessons, everything I do, I put it inside the tribe.
Right.
And so my big goal is I'm 1,000 members in the tribe. And so I write every single day. And that focuses me. And so once I write that statement, then I go into, okay, what do I need to do today that's going to push that the furthest? And then I come up with all my actions, my action plan. So this is, I call this the GAS process.
Okay.
Write your goals. From the goals, that leads to your actions. So you start writing your action plan. Once you have your actions, the third step of how to gas up your day is to schedule. Schedule everything on your calendar. So don't just leave your actions as a to-do list. Schedule them, because when you schedule them, there's a commitment that you, when you put something on your calendar, you commit to it. The most people, you know, only complete about 40% of things they have on a to-do list. However, you do about 90% of the things you have on your calendar. Anything you put on your calendar, you commit to it, and most of the time you do it. And so everything you have on your to-do list, I recommend scheduling a block of time on your calendar where you're going to actually do it. I call this the zero calendaring method. So by the time you finish, you'll notice there'll be zero blank space on your calendar. It'll be filled up with all these. You have a full day. But when you have zero blank space on your calendar, you basically you have zero wasted time. And so this is how I kind of promise people that I can help them eliminate up to 4 hours of wasted time and procrastination throughout their day, because I show them, you know, how to effectively plan and organize their day around their goals. And so that for me takes about 30 minutes. So I sit down with my journal for the first 30 minutes of my day. And I basically, I meditate and then I gas up my day, kind of action plan, goals, action schedule.
It's good language too.
Yeah, and then right after that, the second 30 minutes of this, I go into and do some exercise. I call it activation. So this is how you officially press the start button on your day, is you activate first. And that basically is just going to get your momentum going. You're going to get that first big win of the day, and you're going to carry that momentum into everything you do. And it's actually going to make you way more productive. Your brain thinks more clearly. You're fully oxygenated. You're making better decisions. You're more productive. Yeah. So I think you should start every day with some exercise. So that for me is the power hour. That first hour of the day is the power hour. And so my mission in life is to show everyone how to maximize that power hour, which makes them 10 times more productive. So you do those things when you first wake up, guarantee you have a rock star day.
Let's go with it. So get clear early in the morning, kind of get silent, learn for any guidance, figure out your goals. Maybe, you know, first and foremost, what's your goal for the year? Then reverse engineer it. So what are the goals for today? What are the actions to get me to that goal? And then ultimately schedule it. And I love that stat you said of people get 40% of a to-do list done. But yeah, if it's on your calendar, 90% of things get done right. Because if it's on your calendar, you're like, well, it's on my calendar. Like, obviously I'm supposed to do this in this hour. Love it. And then get active, move your body.
That's how you go into your day powerfully, is with the power hour. Now there's a rule. I mean, there's some general guidelines for power hour. First of all, they got to be you got to have undistracted, uninterrupted time. So no family, no on email, no working. So that basically means just you got to get up early enough before the chaos of your day starts. So the whole premise of this whole concept starts from you waking up early so you can have the silence of the morning for your power hour. You can't wake up at 7 a.m. with a power hour because the world is already spinning at that time. Emails are flying in, phone calls are coming in, your kids are already awake. Like, you can't start a power hour at 7 a.m. just because by the time you wake up, there's this guilt that, there's other stuff going on that I'm not being attentive to. So you got to get up early enough where the world is still quiet so that you can have a guilt-free power hour for yourself before the world turns on. So that's why I recommend waking up at 5 a.m, at least 5 a.m. For your power hour.
Heck yeah. And I want to insert again here. I'm just feeling pulled to insert this of like remembering the saying of I'm so excited to wake up at 5 a.m. tomorrow so that I can blank. Because I can feel our listener right now, like as we're explaining this morning routine, again, having that resistance of like, 5 a.m. is early. And like, but remember, use the language before you go to bed. Listen back to this episode if you need to get that language in your body more and use that. And you're going to wake up in an excited manner. And then you can go execute on all the things you said. So freaking so beautifully laid out, Jarvis. I'm curious, you know, obviously we could be here for another 3 days, but for anybody else that wants to see what you're up to, hang out with you more, just follow along with everything you're doing, where's the best place for them to find you?
And, yeah, if they want that early morning motivation, they can follow me on Instagram. It's the.morninghero on Instagram. And so I always post all kinds of inspirational, motivational content. Also, every morning when I get up, I'll post a story. So a lot of times you'll see what time I'm waking up and what I'm doing first in the morning if you ever want to get some early morning motivation. But then also, I've kind of designed a 5-day challenge. So the biggest problem I come across when I kind of explain this to people is like, that I could never do that. I can't wake up early. Or I've tried meditating. This won't work for me. So I thought, like, how can I help people install a power hour so that they can get consistent and get the results that ultimately is waiting for them? And so I have a 5-day challenge where every day I break down one of these concepts and I actually help them install it, give them all the tools of the trade, the tricks and hacks of helping them install a power hour into their busy lifestyle so that they can 10x their productivity, be done by lunch and get 4 hours of their free time back. And so it's a 5-day challenge. you can go to the link. I don't have the URL yet, but if you, I'm sure you...
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
We'll put the link to it in the show notes. At the very minimum, they can go to themorninghero.com and there'll be a link on there to the 5-day challenge. But I'm calling it the peak performance challenge. I can turn anyone into a peak performer in 5 days. And so I would say that would be the kind of the best thing if anyone's halfway interested in this concept of wanting to wake up earlier. You've been trying it, you know, it's you know there's benefits, but just gosh, you just can't really bake it in. Try me. Within 5 days, I'll turn you into a morning person, and you'll be blazing through your day.
Heck yeah! And I'd say one thing to add that too is it's like reminding yourself that you can do anything for 5 days, right? So if you go, I could never do, you know, you could do anything for 5 days. So absolutely, we'll put that in the show notes. Highly recommend everybody to go check it out. Obviously, you're doing amazing work. So last question I have for you, and this is a question we ask all of our guests because we want to help people find direction, but do it through action, is I'm curious, what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
So I kind of described my process of seeking clarity every morning. And I would say if you're at a place where that's what you're looking for, you're looking for clarity. You're looking for what is the next step? Where am I being called? What should I be doing? Where should I be spending my time? I would say insert a process where you listen every day. Mm. Instead of trying to figure it out and trying all this stuff, I would encourage you to listen, because the answer is probably right now trying to be spoken to you, but you're too busy. You're too consumed. You're too busy. You're always processing and moving that you're not slowing down enough to tune into the guidance that's already been trying to direct you. And so I would say every morning have a process of actively listening at least 10 minutes sitting for 10 minutes, set a timer, use your phone, set the phone for 10 minutes, put in your headphones, play a little piano music or nothing with words, nothing that you can sing to or distract yourself. Play like some spa-like music or some rain sounds or something, and just sit there for 10 minutes. And, you know, maybe the first day or so, you're not going to get anything. The second day, you might not get, you're not going to get this big aha every single day, but you'll get something.
Yeah.
Hey, remember Johnny? Go call Johnny. Like, you know, you'll open your eyes. I'm like, yeah, whatever happened to Johnny? Like, I don't know why, but for some reason he was placed on my heart. Let me reach out to him.
Yeah.
You know, and the next day I'll say, hey, go look at this website. Like every day you'll get some little nugget that'll inch you closer and closer to a path starting to form that could lead you into your direction.
Mm. Powerful, man. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Well, Jarvis, thank you so much for being here, brother. So much value. I'm pumped to go listen to this again, implement everything we talked about. And for our listener hanging out with us today, absolutely replay this, listen to it more, send it to a friend. So Jarvis, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Stu. Loved it.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure to give yourself a pat on the back, give yourself a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul. And that is absolutely something that you have to celebrate. I hope you got so much value in that episode from Jarvis. I know I myself am going to go listen to the podcast 2, 3, 4 more times, and I'd encourage you to listen to this over and over. There were so many things that if you really go execute on them, they can begin to massively change the quality of your life. And I want to say thank you for being here. Thank you for hanging out with us every single week. I appreciate you coming back and spending time with us on the podcast. So genuinely from my heart to yours, thank you for being here. If you have not yet, I would love for you to make sure you subscribe to the show so we can hang out every single week. If you want to leave a review on iTunes, we would love you even more. It's how we get in front of more people and make even more of an impact. And of course, if you have a friend you know this could impact, send it their way. I would encourage you to choose one of those three options. Go execute on it. And other than that, have a wonderful, unbelievable, outstanding rest of your day, my friend. I appreciate you. And if you want to stick around, don't feel like you need to go anywhere. I have another episode coming up right after this, and you can tune into that one right away.